This devotional reading comes from Thomas Brooks, a Puritan preacher from the mid-1600s, and it's from his book, The Mute Christian Under the Smarting Rod. Surely as plowing of the ground kills the weeds, and harrowing breaks hard clods, so these afflictions shall kill my sins and soften my heart. Surely as the plaster draws out the infectious core, so the afflictions that are upon me shall draw out the core of pride, the core of self-love, the core of envy, the core of earthliness, the core of formality, the core of hypocrisy. Surely by these afflictions the Lord will crucify my heart more and more to the world, and the world to my heart. Surely by these afflictions the Lord will keep pride from my soul. Surely these afflictions are but the Lord's pruning knives, by which he will bleed my sins, prune my heart, and make it more fertile and fruitful. They are but the Lord's potion, by which he will clear me and rid me of these spiritual diseases and maladies that are most deadly and dangerous to my soul. Affliction is such a healing potion as will carry away all soul diseases better than all other remedies. Surely these afflictions shall increase my spiritual communion with God. Surely by these afflictions I shall be made to partake more of God's holiness. As black soap makes white clothes, so do sharp afflictions make holy hearts. Surely by these afflictions the Lord will draw out my heart more and more to seek him. Hosea 5:15 says, "In their afflictions they will seek me early." In times of affliction, Christians will industriously, speedily, early seek unto their Lord. Surely by these trials and troubles, the Lord will fix my soul more than ever upon the great concernments of the eternal world. And surely by these afflictions, the Lord will work in me more tenderness and compassion towards those who are afflicted. Surely these afflictions are but God's love tokens, for he says in Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." So says the holy Christian, "O my soul, be quiet, be still. All is sent in love. All is a fruit of divine favor. Afflictions abase the carnal attractions of the world outside us that might entice us. Affliction abates the lustiness of the flesh within us that might otherwise ensnare us. Afflictions humble us and keep us low. Holy hearts will be humble under the afflicting hand of God." All this proves that affliction is a mighty advantage to us. Psalm 119:71 says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Now, who can seriously consider all the good that he has gotten by former afflictions and not be silent under present afflictions? Who can remember those choice, those great, those precious profits that his soul has made of former afflictions and not reason himself into a holy silence under present afflictions? Thusly, O my soul, has not God done you much good, great good, special good by former afflictions? Yes, O my soul. Has not God done that for you by former afflictions, which you would not undo for 10,000 worlds? And yes, is not God, O my soul, as powerful as ever, as faithful as ever, as gracious as ever, and as ready and willing as ever to do you good by present afflictions, as he has been to do you good by former afflictions? There is no sickness so little, but God has a finger in it, though it be but the aching of the little finger. Men who do not see God in affliction are easily cast into a feverish fit. They'll quickly be in a flame, and when their passions are up and their heart on fire, they'll begin to be disrespectful, and make no bones of telling God to his teeth that they do well to be angry. Those who will not acknowledge God to be the author of all their afflictions will be ready enough to fall in with that mad principle of the Manichaeans, who maintained that the devil was the author of all calamities, as if there could be any evil or affliction in the city, and the Lord have no hand in it. If God's hand be not seen in the affliction, the heart will do nothing but fret and rage under affliction. Those who can see the ordering hand of God in all their afflictions will, with David, lay their hands upon their mouths when the rod of God is upon their backs. They see that it was a father who put those bitter cups into their hands, love that laid these heavy crosses upon their shoulders, grace that put those yokes around their necks, and this caused much quietness and calmness in their spirits. When God's people are under the rod, he makes by his Spirit and word such sweet music in their souls that it calms all tumultuous motions and passions and disturbances.